Good afternoon. This is Harold Franklin, pastor of New Creation Christian Center. We're located at 7728 Rainier Avenue South. We have services on Saturday at 7 p.m. till 8:30 p.m. Please come out and join us. You'll be encouraged by the Word of God. You'll be stirred by the presence of God, and you'll witness the power of God in your life. So we look forward to seeing you in the future real soon. God bless you. I think I left off on point F, dealing with children to be left to discover things on their own. And we read Ephesians 6:4. So that was basically the idea that we have to train, we have to shape our children. They cannot shape or form themselves. Now, the world teaches us that children are equal to adults. I mean, is that something that you guys get from the world? The world tells us that we're all on the same level. We're all on the same plane. We're all on the same understanding. But anybody that has just a lick of sense knows that that is nonsense. There is no way that Keturah, Christian, Marquise, Junior, Markayla, you name it, are on the same level as their parents. There's just not, it's not possible. Why? Well, first of all, they haven't been living long enough. That's the first thing. Secondly, they haven't discovered what you have discovered as their parents. So it would be silly to give them the ability to make decisions that they're not equipped to make. Many times in this society, especially in America, kids fall into traps of sin because they've been given too much responsibility that they're not equipped to handle. For instance, if you're in a situation, and this, of course, we know happens so much, but when fathers don't stay with families, and there's a male child in the family, the mother tries to project or put that male child in a role, in an authoritative role. I mean, how many have seen that happen? Now, there's nothing wrong with giving that child some responsibility, because that's part of growing up. That's part of being mature. When we had our kids, we had a chain of command. It was the parents, and then since Marquise was the next oldest, he was in charge if we left, and if Marquise wasn't there, then Michael was in charge, and he kind of fell down after that because Chris usually was in charge if Brian was there. But anyway, for the most part, we had a pecking order. But it was not Marquise's role to take on our role when we were gone. It was just to make sure that everybody did what they were supposed to do or followed the instructions that gave us. Now, since they've all left and we've heard some stories, we heard Marquise has kind of abused a little bit of that authority when he was his age. But that's, for the most part, he was pretty good. But the point is, yes, we give kids responsibility, but no, we don't treat them as equals. That's dangerous for them because they don't understand the things that they have to deal with. Tricky people always trying to manipulate people, whether it's kids or adults, it doesn't really matter. But if they have a child, they tend to be able to manipulate them even more easily. So we have to understand that they have to be trained until they can reach a place where they can make good decisions on their own. And that's what the training process is. I said this in another message, and I can't remember which one it was, but the goal of the parent is to curb the sin nature of the child until that child accepts Christ and gets a new nature, and then they can make decisions about what's right and what's wrong in their own lives. That's what the goal of a parent is. So when your kid screams for stuff, the thing about one area of training that we have to do with kids is to tell them no. You can't have everything. You don't get to do everything you want to do. It's just not possible. And, we've all seen screaming kids in the stores, hitting their parents, "I don't like you," just because they can't have a lollipop. I remember we were in a shoe store, and I can't even remember why we were there, but a lady was trying to buy some soccer shoes for her daughter. And she was, the daughter didn't want the soccer shoes the mom wanted to get her. And she says, "I don't want these shoes. I don't want these shoes." She says, "Well, we can get those other shoes." "No, I don't want those shoes either. I don't want those. I don't want those." And then she says, "Well, what do you want? What is it that you want?" Now, see, that's where the line has been crossed. She's already told you she doesn't want what you're going to give her. And then you're going to ask her what she does want. And what did the child answer? "I don't know, but I just don't want those." And okay, so it's time to just make a decision. Okay, we're going to take this. Look, that's the end. The story is over. You're either going to get these shoes or we're leaving. What do you want? Those are the choices you get. But see, you can't let kids make those make choices because they don't understand consequences. Right? I mean, come on. They just don't get it yet. And hopefully they'll get it. But we all know some kids that are still 35 years old, they ain't got it yet. But thankfully, hopefully, if you train them up, they will get it. Amen? The next thing is that there are no absolutes, and we have to do what we think is right. And we were going to go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. And of course, the Exodus book chapter is the Exodus 20. Chapter is where the Ten Commandments are found. And if you go through those are absolutes. And God spoke all these words, as I'm actually on Exodus 20, verse 1. "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me." That's absolute. He did not say, but on occasion, every now and then, you can. He says, "You shall not have any other gods before me." Then he goes on to a few other shall nots. You shall not make yourself a carved image. You shall not bow down to it. And then he goes on. He says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Then he goes on. "Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's male servant, female servant, or anything that is your neighbor's." And those are absolute rules. They're so absolute now. When Peter was on the rooftop, you guys remember that story? He was on the roof and he saw this vision and the sheet came down and all that kind of stuff. And then their angel spoke to him and he spoke to Cornelius and he told Peter, told him to go get Peter so that he could tell him about the gospel. Now, why didn't the angel just say, "Look, Jesus died for your sins. And if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can be born again"? Why didn't the angel just say that? Because the angels have not been charged to preach the gospel. They have been charged to be messengers for those who preach the gospel, helps to those who preach the gospel, but they don't preach the gospel. You can go through almost any encounter with an angel, they don't preach the gospel. They tell you to go over there and go preach the gospel, but they never preach it. Why is that? Anybody ever wonder why that is?
They were never redeemed.
They were never redeemed like we have been redeemed. They can't tell the story like we can tell it because we're sinners now saved by grace. They have never been sinners saved by grace. So they don't have a point of reference. Are you guys with me? So the world wants to go into the spirit world, and this is what God said about that in Deuteronomy 18:10. He says this, he says, "There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire." Now that's literally sacrificing your children, okay? That's what that means. "Or who one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you." So God is telling you, you do not enter into the supernatural realm through these methods. The only entry into the supernatural realm, legally, if you want to use that term, is through Jesus Christ. You cannot enter any other way. If you do, you've entered into, well, first you violated Scripture, but more than anything, you've entered into the realm of the enemy, of the devil. And all these people who practice those things bring in spiritual forces that they don't even understand. Witches and soothsayers and, people that speak to the dead. And we've all seen all this stuff, you know, on television, on movies. They have seances and all this kind of stuff on TV. Why? Because people want to know what the super, what's out there. All the ghost phenomenons. You know, many people say, "Well, I don't believe in ghosts." Well, ghosts are not ghosts in the sense that they take on their real ghosts. They're really evil spirits mimicking people who were once alive on the earth. So a ghost is nothing more than a demon spirit masquerading as the person that it says it is. And so the enemy, because we can't discern, when you get into the supernatural realm without going through Jesus Christ, you cannot individually discern between the right and the wrong. Because the enemy is so tricky, so crafty, he'll get you to believe a lot of things. And we all know people, you know, I don't know if you guys know, what is her name? I dropped one blank. But when we cross into his territory, not in the sense that we, that doesn't mean if we go in to deliver people, we can't deal with it. But when you go into the supernatural realm without the blood of Jesus, you're in trouble. So you have to stay under the blood. Otherwise, the enemy will overcome you. And this is also why we have to watch ourselves when in the area of sin. Because if we're in a sinful position, the Bible says if you're sinful or if you're sinning, so that means you lose your power because now the avenue between you and God has been cut off or broken. So that's why you have to quickly repent or you're going to fall into temptation, fall into deception. All sorts of things will come your way. And we've all seen this happen. People that were born again that started doing things that they shouldn't have done. And, you know, 6 months down the line, if they haven't repented, they start saying and doing things that they shouldn't be saying and doing. Have you guys ever seen that happen before? And that's because they're walking in a state of unrepentance and the enemy is slowly deceiving them into believing that they don't have to repent. You're okay. God understands. You know, you're not perfect. Everybody makes a mistake. Go on and live your life. You're okay. But you are okay if you repent, but not if you just continue down the same path. You have to repent. You have to be quick to repent so that the enemy does not take advantage of you. Amen? And I added this last one. I said I was going to add one more. It was, and this is, people want you to accept them as they are. Now, that sounds like it, that's not, so that doesn't sound that bad. Well, and there is some truth to this. There is true, it is true that the church receives and accepts everybody. All right? From every walk of life, there is no limitation. Whosoever will is the invitation. Whosoever will, let him come. It doesn't matter whether you're a robber, a murderer, a thief, a prostitute, a drug dealer, a mafia drug king, whatever your profession is, you're a doctor, a lawyer that hasn't been accepted Christ, you're a minister that hasn't accepted Christ. Whatever your profession, whosoever will, let him come. All right? But the whosoever will, let him come cannot stay like they came in. You don't stay like you were when you came. You know, the motto of our church is, you can come as you are, but you just can't stay that way. What does that mean? That implies that you're going to have to change or allow the Holy Spirit, honestly, to change you. Which means that you have to surrender to the leading of the Spirit, otherwise you will not change. And that's what, but the world says, well, no, you have to accept people for what they are, who they are, what they are. You know, and we've heard people say, well, this is just how I am. And you just have to like it. No, that's how you were before you got saved. But after you've got saved, that's not how you are anymore. If you got a bad attitude before, if you had a bad attitude before you were saved, guess what? You should not continue to have a bad attitude after you get saved. If you had a bad temper when you were outside in the world, you should not continue to have a bad temper when you get saved. And if you continually battle with that, you have to take it to the Lord and say, Lord, you know how I am. You know that I have a quick temper. You know I get angry quickly. So I pray that you would help me to cast this anger upon you. Whatever, see, there's a core reason why we get that we do the things that we do. There's something that triggers the things, our activity, and we have to get at that root cause to help us to be changed. Let's go to a 2 Corinthians 3. 17, and then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 5:17 as well. Second Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. We always hear that passage quoted, right? But he says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So what is that verse telling you? What does that verse say to you? That what does it mean to be transformed? Huh? It means to be changed. So he's saying here, we are beholding the glory of the Lord, and we're being transformed into that same glory. So that means that in order to be transformed, I have to stop something and pick up something else, right? I can't keep doing the same things that I was doing before I got saved. And that is the challenge for every believer. There's nobody exempt from this challenge. Everybody has to fight this battle. Because why? Every one of us has something that we need to get over. All of us, everybody say all of us, need to get over something. We have to be honest with ourselves. And I know we dress up, we make up, we look good on the outside, but all of us know there's something in us that we need to change. And we can't be ashamed of that fact because we all are there. Now, some of us obviously should be further along, but we still have to guard against those things. Just because you've been changed from them does not mean you can't fall back into doing it again. You have to guard against those things. And this is what this message is all about. I started this message by saying we are in a war. We're in a battle. And usually when people hear Christians say that, they think of a gun, a knife, and shooting and killing battle. But we're not in that kind of a battle. We're in a spiritual battle to change our nature, or to transform. Now, our nature has been transformed by being born again, but to transform our behavior to match the new nature. Did you catch that? You already have a new nature. Now that new nature has to transform your behavior so that you would be in line with the new nature. Everybody who's born again has a new nature in them. So everything that you need, because the Spirit is now living in you, you have to overcome everything you're going to face. But your flesh, your emotions, try to overrule the new man. And we see it all the time. God, you're facing a situation or you're trying to deal with something, and something in you says, okay, if you just trust me, I'm going to take you through this. But then that other something in you says, I'm not sure I can do that. I'm not sure if I can trust that you're going to do what you say you're going to do. So inside of us, we're battling, who are we going to trust? Who are we going to lean on? And the scripture says, trust in the who? Lord. Come on, say it out loud. Trust in the
Lord
with all your
heart.
And lean not on your own understanding. Our understanding, let me just go, and I don't want to spend a whole bunch of time on this, but when you're trying to get over habits that you formed before you got saved, you have to stop listening to the desire or the habit and allow the Spirit who's speaking to you to be the leader. In other words, the flesh has been attached to something, and it cries out for it. Oh, I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to watch this. I want to hear this. But the Spirit man tells you inside, no, don't do that. Don't do that. And then the battle is on. Who's going to win? Who are you going to listen to? And most of the time, until you walk in a mature way, you usually give in. And what happens when you give in? Everybody say it together. You feel bad. Right? I mean, you're battling it. You know you're battling it. And you lose the battle. You engage in what you said don't do. And then you do it. And then you say to yourself, God, why did I do it? I know I shouldn't have done it. Why did I do it? Because your flesh has trained you to do it. And what you have to tell your flesh, and you know, just like I was talking about training, when you're an athlete in training, your flesh tells you to do a lot of things. But when you're training, you say, I'm not doing that. I am in training. Am I right about it? When you're training, you don't do stuff. You got to run. And your body tells you, my body used to tell me when I played football, I waited to the last minute to start running because I hated running. I just hated it. So my body would tell me, well, you know, 2 months to the season. You know, my mind would say, 2 months to the season, man, you better start hitting the track. And I say, I got enough time. month and a half to go, Harold, you better start, you better hit the road, man. All right. But I did not want to run. But I knew that I had to. And so sooner or later, because I loved to play football so much and I did not want to be a bench warmer. And usually the ones that are out of shape are the bench warmers. I said, okay, I better hit it because I want to start. I remember my junior year when I went to Ingram, nobody knew me. I played for Rainier. I was a star at Rainier all those years I played down there. I had knee surgery in my ninth grade year, so I didn't even get to play my 10th grade year. So I said to myself, look, I got to start my junior year or football, I'm done. And I was playing a position that they already had two seniors that were starting. I was playing inside linebacker. And I said, well, I'm not going to, and I wasn't even saved then. But I said, I'm not going to worry about that. All I'm going to do is give it my best. If my best is not good enough, so be it. So I went out and I said, I'm going to be on every play. I'm going to make as many tackles as I can make so that they will know me. What did I do? I committed myself to do something, even though I did not know if I was going to be successful. That's what we have to do in the spirit. We have to trust God and believe that He can transform us even when we don't think we can be transformed. That's the real trust factor, when you can't see how God's going to fix you. Lord, I don't, sometimes some of us pray like this. Lord, I don't even know why you put up with me. Why don't you just leave me alone and just let me go on, because I just can't seem to get this thing right. But God is not interested what you think. He's there to change you into His image. So what you think is unimportant. It's what He knows and what He sees. Just like when He saw Gideon, what did He call Gideon? And was Gideon a mighty man of valor at the point where He saw him? He wasn't a little boy, but he surely wasn't mighty because he was hiding. Gideon was hiding the food. He said the Midianites were coming to take all the food. So Gideon's hiding. He wasn't trying to fight the Midianites. He's trying to get away. And the angel says, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you. And then he said, man, if the God is with us, how come they keep coming and taking all our stuff? And then we know the story of Gideon, but because Gideon didn't see it, but God saw it, and God can change us if we let Him change us. But many times we kick against Him, we fight against Him, not knowingly, but unknowingly. So we are to accept people. I'm going to skip 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's the new creation scripture. We all know that. We accept everyone who wants to come. I don't care what lifestyle they live. They're welcome to come to the church, but they're not going to come to the church and practice that lifestyle. That's the difference. You could have slept with 150,000 women before you came, but when you come into the church and you've given your life to God, that practice has to stop. Are you with me? And that's where the church has to step in. Not to lord over people, but to train people. To teach them how to resist temptation in the area that they battle. All right. And so how are these messages of the world proclaimed? And this is where we're getting to the hearing. The messages are proclaimed, number one, through television. All these messages that we just talked about that the world preaches are told through television, sitcoms, movies. All these things proclaim these doctrines that I just talked about, the doctrines of the world. The second medium is the movies, and we talked about that. Movies preach a message. Everybody say, movies preach a message. Movies preach a message. People think that, oh no, it's just entertainment. I've not seen the movie Avatar, and I'm not picking on that, but it's been playing at the store. And those are just nothing but demon spirits flying around in there. I mean, you look at that, I say, what in the world is that? I mean, I was walking through the store today. They had tails. They had big ears. They have funny faces. And they do weird things. I said, that's nothing but a devil. But the world is trying to get us to accept the supernatural, but not through Jesus Christ. So you have to be careful about the movies you watch, because there is a message. Have you noticed how many movies there are about the world coming to an end? I mean, you know, Apocalypse. What's the most recent one? Huh? Yeah, 2012. You know, some Mayan group in you know, ancient times came up with a calendar that ended in 2012. So now everybody thinks the world's going to end in 2012. Yeah, they got annihilated before they finished their calendar. But the world knows that something is up, but they won't repent and turn to Jesus Christ. They'll do anything else but that. But movies preach a message. The third area that preaches for the world is music. Music preaches a message. That's why when my kids were young, I limited what they listened to, because I did not want them hearing the gospel according to the world. I wanted them to hear the gospel according to Jesus Christ. And the reason I said that is because I did not grow up listening to gospel music. Matter of fact, I did go to church, so you heard it at church, but back in those days, you know, it was more choir type music. The music that's present in the gospel arena now is, you know, far exceeds what was in the out there when I was a kid. So I listened to, you know, back in those days, there was a station in Seattle called KYAC. That was the black station. And I listened to that station 24 hours a day, slept at my, had a radio turned on when I went to bed, had the radio turned on when I got up. I sang then, I sang all them songs, and oh me, oh my, and my woman and left me, and you know, here I'm 13 years old, I ain't got no woman, ain't nobody left me, but I'm preaching that message. Because songs preach to you, and if it's not what you believe, it will take you where it wants you, what it wants you to believe. That's why you just can't listen to any old music. Even to this day, songs that I used to sing and listen to, if I hear them now, it'll take me back. And I was like, yeah, I remember that song, and I remember, oh yeah, I better stop right there. Because I don't want to go there. That's why I said, even now, I have to guard against that stuff. I remember we used to work out, and you know, when you go to the gyms, they always play the oldies, right? Well, the oldies, the only thing I remember. I stopped listening to secular music in the 70s. So anything from the late 60s up into the late 70s, if they play it, I know it. Anything after that, I have no idea who they are, don't know, never heard of them. Somebody was asking me about some singer the other day. I said, I never heard of that person. You never, and he asked me, have you ever watched The Simpsons? Never watched The Simpsons. Never wanted to watch The Simpsons. Don't care about The Simpsons. He said, oh, that's weird. There's nothing I want to know about Bart Simpson. I've seen him, and just what I've seen is ridiculous. So I don't want to watch his show. Why? Because he preaches rebellion. Bart Simpson preaches rebellion. And that's when then we wonder why our kids talk to us as their parents in a way that they shouldn't talk to us, because they've been taught by the television, by their music. I mean, in the 60s, you know, Brother Philip probably remembers the music was don't listen to your parents, don't listen to authority. I remember there was back in the 60s, the saying was don't trust anybody over 30. That's the most ridiculous thing you could ever say. Because that was everybody that was an authority over you. So basically they said, don't trust authority, any authority. That was the message of the 60s. And that message is still going on. It's been multiplied. It's worse now. Now they don't even tell you don't trust. Some of them just tell you to kill the authorities. Shoot them. Shoot the police. That's not to say the police are always right, but I'm telling you, if you start shooting the police, you're going to lose that war. Because they got more guns than you do. I don't care how many you got, they got more. So that's just a bad philosophy to adhere to. I just asked the guy that shot up all the police officers in Tacoma, remember that? What happened to him? They shot him. You didn't think it was going to happen any other way, did you? I mean, he's walking around shooting people. He's armed. They're not taking any chances. So if they see him, boom, he's gone. And that's exactly what happened. You can't fight that battle. You can't win that battle. That's a demonically inspired message. And the last thing, and I know this is a shocker, but the public schools teach this message. The public school preaches most of the stuff we've talked about, you know, it's okay to do things as long as you don't hurt people. There is no God. You know, evolution is really the gospel of the school. I mean, right? They teach you evolution is this, and evolution, you know, let's just say this. I'm not a scientist, but it's just common sense. And the bad thing about it, they've tried to prove evolution, and it just never comes up. It never works. I talked to you about how they tried to mate tigers and lions to create a new species, and every time the male lion or the male cross species can't produce any species after the lion tiger, they call it a liger or a tion. Was it a liger if it's a male, a tion if it's a female? And they can't reproduce. Now, isn't that amazing? When they're telling us that the worm became a fish and the fish became a monkey and the monkey became a man. How could they when they can't reproduce? If you can't reproduce, the line stops. There is no more. There is no more half monkey, half man. It can't have any more kids, so it's died off. They've done this in their own labs, but they don't tell you that at school. They keep telling you that, well, Homo erectus and erectus homeo and homo sapien, all that foolishness. That's not biblical, but you go to anybody on the street and they believe evolution. Almost everybody on the street believes that. And it's a message, it's against what we believe. So we have to be careful about who we listen to. So the thing is, how do we get out overhearing things that preach a different message than the Bible? The first thing we have to do is know what the message of the Bible is. Know what the Bible says about salvation, righteousness, holiness, life, relationships, work, etc. Know what the message of the gospel is. Many times we can't decipher between the truth and a lie because we don't know the truth. And I'm sure you've all heard this story, but the way that people avoid getting counterfeit money is, how do they avoid it? By studying all the counterfeit money that's out there? No, they study the real thing. They get the dollar out. And they say, oh yeah, okay, so the dollar has this, it's got this special paper. And then it's got, if you hold it up, it's got these Well, the one, I don't think the one does. But all the other ones got these little metallic marks in there, and they say 20, 20, 20, 10, 10, 10, 50. There's numbers in the throughout. So they don't get all the counterfeit bills and study them. They study the truth, the true one. So when they get the false one, right away they recognize it. But unfortunately, the church doesn't study the true message. So when false messages come across their plate, they're scratching their head and say, I'm not sure about that one. I wonder is that in the Bible? Maybe that's in the Bible. Maybe I'm the one that's wrong. And then you come up with strange doctrines. But you have to know the scriptures. Know what the scriptures say about relationships. And know that, you're not supposed to have five wives, three husbands. I know that's an easy one. We all know that one. Of course, it's even illegal to have more than one wife. But we need to know what the Bible teaches. You might say, well, the Bible says that, many people in the Bible had many wives. But yeah, they stopped that. In the New Testament, they stopped that. He says, if a bishop is going to be a bishop, he has to be the husband of what? One wife. Not three. So that it was stopped. And then Jesus said it himself. He created a male and female. Just one each. They allowed multiple wives, but that was not God's perfect plan. Are you with me? So know what the Bible says and what the Bible teaches. That's why we're going through the foundations of Christian doctrine. We need to understand what the basic doctrines of Christianity are so that when false doctrines arise, you recognize them. Many people don't know the difference between a Jehovah's Witness, a Mormon, and traditional Christianity. And it's the reason they don't know is because, number one, they don't know what the Bible teaches, and secondly, they don't really know what they teach. But how many know that the Mormons have their own, a separate book other than the Bible? How many people know that? Yeah, now they're trying to put them in hotels. The Gideons went through the world and put all the Bibles in. Now the Mormons are trying to do the same thing. It's called another testament of Jesus Christ. Well, that's not possible. The canon of Scripture was closed. That means that the Bible was written when the Bible was written. You don't get to add new books. The Gospel According to Harold. I wasn't there. Joseph Smith wasn't there. So we have to know what the scriptures teach. Secondly, we have to know what the message of the world or of the devil is. And we know John 10:10 says what? The thief what? The thief comes to kill. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Steal, kill, destroy. And then I think there's another passage that Jesus said, I think it's in 8, chapter 8. Let me see if we can find it here. Chapter 8 in John's Gospel, verse 42 through 44 says, Jesus says to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's a liar and a murderer. That's the plan. So deception is his plan. The third thing we need to do is don't partake in those things that are contrary to the message of the Bible. Let's go to John 17:14, say in the Gospel of John 17:14-17. And this is Jesus as he's getting ready to leave. He says, I have given them your word. He's talking to the Father. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth, for your word is truth. Now, what does it mean to be sanctified? We've heard this word all in our church life. What does it mean, really mean, to be sanctified? It means to be separated from. So he says, sanctify them with your word. That means that we're going to be a little bit different than the world is. Not weird. You know, we're not weird. We're peculiar. Peculiar means different. We don't have the same reference points as the world does. You know what I mean by that? We don't allow those things that the world gets excited about to excite us. And I'm not talking about just activities, but I'm talking about sin mostly. A friend of mine asked me, have you ever watched Sex in the City? Now, just by the name tells me I had not to be watching that show. I mean, the name, they don't even hide the name anymore. It used to be, they try to be a little bit subtle. Now there's Sex in the City. Do I look like I want to see that show? I mean, what do you think that show is about? Do you even have to watch the show to know what it's about? No. So we shouldn't be getting excited about stuff that the world gets excited about. I know that's funny. Most people say, yeah, I never thought of it that way, but it's just out there for you to just grab hold of. Sex in the City. That just tells you that it ain't at home with his wife. That's all I have to say about it. It's all over the city. Anyway, let's go to 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. We're still talking about not partaking of those things that are contrary. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, we know we use this passage as a marriage passage, but he's really not talking about marriage. He's talking about believers and non-believers. He says, for what fellowship, what has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness, and what accord has Christ with Belial, which is another name for the devil? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. And then it says in verse 1:7, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So we have to not partake of those things that are contrary to the message of God. And the subpart to that is that we have to limit the kinds of things that proclaim messages contrary to what the scriptures teach. The reason why a lot of people have trouble with faith is because they get their whole day, they've heard everything that is against faith. The world is against faith. It does not teach you to trust God. It's the opposite. So we have to limit the messages from the world and fill ourselves up with the message of faith. That's why we need to study the word. That's why we need to listen to gospel music. That's why we need to listen, you know, memorize scripture. All the things that we can to build ourselves up in the word. Because why? Faith comes but by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the word of God. That's what the next point is. And the last point is fill yourself with the word of God and the things that support the things of the Spirit. And it's Romans 10:17 is faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And go to the last verse I'm going to go to is Philippians 4:8-9. And we all know this one. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, everybody say true. What does that mean? That means it lines up with the scriptures. Whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So Paul is saying, whatever I've taught you, stay with those things that I taught you. Don't allow those things, other things, to consume you. So when it comes to listening and seeing and watching, we have to turn those things off to be people of faith. Now you might say, well, I don't want to be all legalistic. I'm not telling you to, I could tell you what to do. I mean, I've already told you Sex and the City is probably not the best show you want to watch. But there's some shows that, you should listen to your spirit man. Because all of us have sat up and watched the show and you heard the spirit inside. You say, you ought not to be watching that. I mean, how many has that happened to? A voice comes and tells you, turn that off. Don't let those people talk to you like that in this house. Yeah, I told my sons, it wasn't my son, I probably did tell them. I told somebody, look, I don't curse in my house, so I'm not going to turn on the television so somebody didn't curse at me. I mean, why would I do that? If I don't curse in my house, why would I turn on the television and just let them curse all throughout my house? If I don't, I'm trying to keep my kids from cursing, and I don't curse. So I'm going to just turn on every show that curses so that they can hear it all. Well, you got to be real. No, you don't have to be real. Not that real. That's where we always fall down. You got to be real. Look, real doesn't have to be ugly and nasty and dirty and filthy and foul-mouthed. You can be real and not be cursing. Am I right? Huh? All right, I'm done. Let's stand. Let's pray. So, limit the things we see. Limit the things we hear. Television, movies, songs, everything. Watch what we see, what we hear. Don't allow the gospel of the world to be preached to you. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for this message. I pray that you would take what I said and wrap it in wisdom, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, and teach all of us how to discern the things that we should watch, we should listen to govern our lives according to your Spirit, Lord. It's not about man's rules. It's not about me. It's not about anything, but it's about being led by the Spirit. And Father, I pray that you would teach us how to be led by your Spirit above any and everything else. And I thank you for this time. We ask that you would bless us as we go in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. And there are refreshments out there for all.
Well, thank you very much for listening to the message. I hope your life was touched. I hope God spoke to your heart. If you want more messages, you can reach us at newcreationcc.blogspot.com. or you can go to iTunes.com and download other podcast messages. Also, if you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is area code 206-402-3118. And our email address is newcreationcc@comcast.net. We look forward to hearing from you. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer.